Welcome back, my friend. It is ADHD Powerful Possibilities. I am your friend and the host, ADHD Coach Catherine, coming to you from a very windy but sort of sunny Edinburgh as magnolia trees and cherry blossoms bloom and suddenly spring doesn't feel too far away. I loved hearing your feedback last week. ADHD and procrastination is clearly a hot topic, which is great news because I have a book which I have created that explains the CLEAR method, and I'm really looking forward to sharing that with you soon. So keep your eyes peeled for the ADHD Entrepreneur's Procrastination Pivot. But this week I wanted to focus on something positive, and I use the word positive intentionally because obviously there's been a lot of negativity in the press about ADHD and neurodivergence. It feels like almost every other week a celebrity or a newspaper publishes what feels like a hit piece on people with ADHD or autism, especially those of us who are diagnosed later in life and who may have an atypical to the general public presentation. There's so much negativity around at the moment. I wanted to take some time to look at strengths because they really, really matter for all humans. Knowing what your strengths are, understanding what you are good at, what fills you up, what recharges your battery, what your natural gifts are, when you know that, it makes daily life easier. And I will explain why during the course of the episode. But when you have ADHD, it often feels like we're swimming upstream against the tide. So knowing that you have these strengths, think of them as a secret engine on your back as you're trying to swim against the tide, or an extra advantage. You have these strengths, and ADHD is part of you as a human being, but not the whole package. And let's remember, our thoughts are things, and we can choose the ones that we believe. If thoughts are aeroplanes, we get to choose the ones that land at our airport. And I want you to focus on ignoring the ones that make you feel worse about ADHD. And we know ADHD is a whole life condition that is founded in a neurological difference in your brain, not the type of juice that you have for snack time. It goes way beyond attention, sitting still, and managing our impulse control. All of our executive functions are affected by the difference in our brain and the difference in our neurotransmitters. ADHD isn't just about what we eat or what we watch or what games we play, and it affects so many people. Around 5% of the population globally could be classed as ADHD brains, but we also know there are some people who are more affected by it in a negative way. But for all the negativity about ADHD, it's just part of our general humanity. We have other things going on in our brain and in our life. At ADCA, we use the machine, mind and mission model. So your ADHD affects your machine. That's your brain, how it's structured, how it functions. Your mind are the thoughts and the beliefs that we have about ourselves and the world and other people. And our mission, well, that's our goal, our vision, our driving purpose. And if we focus too much on the machinery, we can forget about the mission part of things, and we can forget about the mind. So that's one of the reasons I want to spend some time today talking about your strengths of character and your other strengths. Because when we focus only on our deficits, our challenge, our disability, and ADHD is a disability, it's easy to lose sight of all the great things about you as a human being. Some people might think, well, people with ADHD are always creative. They're always resilient. They have all these strengths which are typical of people with ADHD. I know what anecdotally I see, which is great resilience, great creative problem solving, a lot of empathy, a lot of compassion for other people, less for themselves. But what are character strengths, and how do you know what yours are? That allows me to introduce you to the VIA Character Strengths Assessment. There are other character strengths assessments out there. VIA is the one that I know and the one that I like. And it's a psychological tool that you can do at home for free that allows you to understand what your main character strengths are, what your profile is, if you like. Studies are inconclusive about whether some character strengths are universal for people with ADHD. But VIA have done some studies, and their research indicates that a group of strengths may be more common in people with ADHD. And these include creativity, which a lot of people would expect, enthusiasm, which they describe as zest, and that I definitely can see in most of my clients, bravery, which I kind of wonder, I'm not sure if that's inbuilt or because we have to deal with so much as people with ADHD brains in a neurotypical world, and perseverance. Perseverance, I think, is definitely something that I've seen almost universally in my clients, but I'm aware that could be a bias in terms of the people who come for coaching and who are ready to make changes and move forward. When they say creativity, they don't mean we're all Leonardo da Vinci or Pablo Picasso. Creativity in the context of a character strength means we're more likely to find an innovative or unusual solution to a problem, a situation, a challenge. We're more likely to have a divergent way of thinking about a problem that other people would just try and resolve the same way. And this is one of the reasons I think that we tend to end up more in the entrepreneurial side of business. Or we find ways that we can use it, whether we're at home or at work or in school. And unfortunately, it may be something that students in particular in a school system where uniform answers are required struggle with, because they may see a new way to do things that may be not what the examiner is looking for, but certainly in business, there are lots of opportunities for that new, divergent, creative way to solve a problem. That spotting the problem in the market that other people haven't seen, that's definitely a strength, but it doesn't mean you have to be artistic. When we're talking about enthusiasm or zest, that's something that can show up really strongly for ADHD people because of the interest involved. When we are involved in something that stimulates our interest, you will find that your energy, your enthusiasm, your passion for a subject quite often leads you to achieve things that other people who don't have that character strength would really struggle with. And that is one of the reasons that when people with ADHD are doing well, we can do really well, and it can almost feel like, hey, wait a minute, this isn't really a disability, because if I didn't have ADHD, I might not be able to function in this way at this level for this length of time. And that, my friends, is when you have to be very careful, observant and self-aware to look out for things that may crop up, like burnout. Anyway, we're going back to strengths because we're focusing on strengths rather than possible dangers this week. One of the things that we often hear about ADHD is this impulsivity. And I think there's two ways to look at this. On the one hand, impulsivity is definitely something that can lead to dangerous situations. Unmedicated teenagers, for example, are much more likely to be involved in accidents, incidents, unplanned pregnancy, this kind of behaviour. Impulsivity is definitely an element of the ADHD neurotype. At the same time, we could look on it as spontaneity. We could also frame it as bravery, that willingness to take risks that other people might avoid, but which can create life-changing, world-changing differences. I'm pretty sure that most people who took a risk when they were inventing a new service, a new idea, a new machine, somebody somewhere took a risk, they were brave, and they impulsively followed their dream. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we're not romanticising impulsivity too much. And spontaneity, on the one hand, is a great thing. Not so great when you do something like buy a house, which I did do fairly impulsively, ditto a car. Anyway, the final strength that I wanted to look at in this section is perseverance. Now, we are always told ADHD people struggle with attention, we struggle with focus, and indeed one of the presentations of ADHD is called inattentive. But again, when our interest button has been pushed, we are capable of focusing and paying attention for extended periods of time. And we often focus beyond what other people might do because we have this perseverance, this dedication, which aligns with our interests and our passions. It's one of the reasons why when I start working with clients, very early on, I ask people to think about their needs, their strengths, their values, and we create this kind of map of who are you? Never mind the challenges that come with your ADHD. Who are you when it comes to things that you need, things that you value, things that you believe in? What are your strengths? And these are all really important for you to know so that instead of thinking, when I have the perfect routine or the perfect planner, or the perfect spreadsheet, I'll be able to do all the work that I have to do and then I'll be happy and fulfilled and reliable and all these great things. Instead, when you are happy, when you are fulfilled, when you are aware of yourself, then you will be able to do the work that you need to do and you will have discovered the system that works for you. So turn it on its head. It's not what we have, it's who we're being. And when we know who we are, then we can be the person that we need to be and want to be to fulfill our vision, our mission. And I've included a couple of papers in the references, for example, The Role of Hyperfocus in Entrepreneurial Success, which is from 2012. And of course, Seligman's work on positive psychology, which I think is really relevant for people with ADHD. But you can get the links to those in the show notes below. What I want you to do now is think about your ADHD strengths. Obviously, there's the VIA character strengths. You can find it from the address in the show notes, or you can just search VIA, that's V-I-A, character assessment, because you really want to have that self-awareness that comes from knowing your own strengths, and then think about how you have succeeded in the past. Are you somebody who can see patterns? Are you somebody who spots opportunities? Do you have that impulsive leap into them? It may not always work out, but I can guarantee that if you don't take the leap, it will never work out. And once you know what your strengths are, you've spent a bit of time thinking back to how you've behaved that you may have recognised, think about the kind of environment that you need for that to happen. Do you need to be in an office that's fairly open, where you have lots of people coming and going, where there's always company, where that body doubling happens naturally? Do you need to work somewhere you can have these bursts of sprints of creativity, or where you have scheduled work slots throughout the day, so that you're not trying to push beyond that initial 4 hours of productive cognition? One of the things that for me embodies the ADHD paradox best is that we work best generally in a clutter-free environment, but more often than not, ADHD people struggle with accumulating clutter. And right now, after a very busy weekend, my own workroom is very cluttered. So I know that tomorrow, I'm going to take an hour, I'm going to clear everything out, and my brain will feel so much more open and spacious. So think about, is your working environment conducive to your creative problem solving, your pattern spotting, your leaps, your impulsivity, your bravery, your perseverance, all these wonderful ADHD characteristics, and your personal strengths? Do you need to include something like noise-cancelling headphones? If you're working in a shared office, they can be an absolute game-changer. You might want to also think about what kind of chair you have. I've seen these wonderful meditation chairs where you can move around and sit in all different kinds of positions. For me, standing up, walking around, or having just a really nice, comfortable office chair that's very supportive, and something under my feet, which tend to be bare, are most helpful. And finally, the other element in your environment is your support system, the people around you. If you're working solo, if you're an entrepreneur who works alone, you're a startup, you might want to look at something like a co-working space. Most main towns or cities have at least one co-working option. But equally, a cafe, a library are both good choices. And you may also want to find a group or a cohort, a mentor, some system of support that works for you. You may want to find yourself a coach. You may want to find yourself a Discord group as well that you can join. And once you've got your strengths, your self-awareness, you've found and designed the environment that works best for you, next step is reframing our challenges as opportunities. Now, I want to use a quote here, which I love, from somebody called Angus Fletcher, who wrote a book called Story Thinking. And he said, "Magical thinking is ignoring reality. Optimism, or what I call possibility, optimism is engaging constructively with reality. Magical thinking is, I will. Optimism is thinking, I can. Magical thinking is believing that if I imagine myself flying, I'll reach the stars. Optimism is building rocket ships that explode and explode until, obviously, one day they reach the stars. For me, that is what reframing our challenges as opportunities involves. We're not saying these things don't exist. We're asking you to think differently about the possibility that these challenges are actually an opportunity for you to approach things radically differently. Obviously, there are ways that you can do that. For instance, if you are somebody who struggles with juggling lots of different projects and prioritization is a real problem, how can you solve that in a way that works with your strengths? If you are somebody who's very visual, can you design a project management board that allows you to see at a glance what is required next? Can you make it fun? Can you make it like a race track with different markers for each project to get past? Make it funny and creative and silly, but make it work for you. Maybe you're struggling with the routine parts of your business or your job, whatever project you're working on. Once you know what your strengths are, what your past successes have involved, bring them in to when you're trying to solve that problem of managing a dull, routine, repetitive task. Of course, there's the Eisenhower matrix. There's the old do, delete, delegate idea. There's an idea that I've been working on, which is good, should and could. And I will explain more about that next week. But maybe you can create a game, a reward system for yourself. And this isn't about making up something that's fake. It should be a real reward. And it shouldn't involve any force, because as soon as we try to force ourselves to do work, it immediately becomes so much heavier and so much harder. And that creative story thinking, possible part of our brain switches off and we fall into logic. This idea that a routine task is necessary and dull, so I must approach it in a logical, managed way, is one of the reasons why we get stuck. How can you make it fairly wild? Can you make it interesting? Can you throw in a game? And that brings me to the idea of continuing to grow and experiment and play. When we stop trying to grow and learn and play, our brains will inevitably get bored and we will maybe find that our work isn't as exciting as it used to be. We may distract ourselves, looking at the phone more, looking at various websites more, maybe going to the snack cupboard a bit more. We may find we delay starting work because we're no longer experiencing the reward that we once had, because we're not giving ourselves time to grow and learn, both about ourselves and then apply that to our work. And one of the ways that I manage this is constantly learning. Start a positive psychology course, training in social skills for autistic teens and young adults. This continuous development, it's not about adding more things to my coaching. It's about learning things that are interesting and that connect with the things that I passionately care about. And there are things that will work and things that won't work for you. But if you don't keep learning and experimenting and growing, then you're not giving your brain the opportunity to do the problem-solving part, which ADHD brains are better at doing. And we always finish with some practical tools and strategies that you can take away and work on this week. So obviously, first up is the VIA Character Strengths Assessment. It's something I've done a couple of times, and what I've noticed is that my top two or three might move around depending on what I'm doing, but they're always up there. So it's highly recommended, but there are other ones you might want to try, like the Strengths Finder. These are linked to in the show notes, and I'll put them together in my newsletter for this week as well. That comes out every Wednesday. It's called the Possibilities Post, and I try to keep it to under 1 minute of reading. That is one of the educational resources you might want to access to think about where are my strengths, how can I develop them, what do I need in an environment that is going to support me to do my best work. For books as well as resources, I don't think you can go wrong with ADHD 2.0 or Driven to Distraction. Both are by Dr. Ned Halliwell and John Ratey. And of course, the other book that I always recommend is Still Distracted After All These Years by Dr. Kathleen Nadeau. Other things that might help you when it comes to keeping track of your strengths and bringing all your information together so that you can then tease out the things that work for you, the strategies, the tools, the project management side of things, especially if you're in business, are visual planner tools. I've spoken about these a bit before. There are hundreds of them. Personally, I love Notion. I have a digital template coming out soon with some really wonderful tools, and it's laid out in a way that I find very efficient for ADHD business owners. But I also love just using my whiteboard, my Notion template, and my planner pad, which Tracy Otsuka mentioned years ago, have been fabulous for me in terms of creating a visual structure and a collection of tools that allow me to use those ADHD strengths like creative problem solving and thinking visually. For me, that's really important. And obviously, things like coaching, workshops, education, these can all be really powerful when it comes to understanding your strengths, using them in a constructive, positive way, and allowing you to continue that growth and development wherever you are. And if you're in business, if you're an entrepreneur, I have a new 12-week program specifically for building that wonderful foundation and taking you through the tools that I use for ADHD business owners. Because one of the most powerful things you can do, apart from understanding yourself, is connecting with other people and having a supportive group that has that neurodivergent edge, but also allows you the freedom and the framework to develop how you use your own strengths to get your work done and take you forward. Once we understand our strengths, we can start to focus on those more than our deficits or weaknesses or however we choose to name the things that are difficult in life. And that matters because what we focus on is what grows. So I'm asking you this week to focus on your strengths. Let me know when you've done the VIA assessment and what your top two or three are, if you recognise them, and how you're going to apply them to a challenging area in your life, or how you can remember to use them the next time things get tricky. Again, thank you so much for your time, and I love hearing feedback from listeners. If you want to get in touch with me, you can email me or you can contact me on social media. And I'm wishing you a very successful and strength-filled week ahead. Take care of yourself until next time.